as my daddy's world. That gives me comfort, courage. We're so glad that you are here and worshiping with us on this Sabbath day. Next Sabbath at 4 o'clock, there will be a Vespers service at 4 o'clock in which we'll be reading the Bible. What a blessing. As we get into the message that God has for us, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads. Most loving and gracious Father, you who we can't comprehend the love that you have for us. And today we ask that you'll help us to want to know more of who you are, to want to draw closer to you, O God. We want to be right with you. And I ask that as your word of truth is proclaimed, that our minds, ears, and hearts might not only be pricked, but may we be further converted. Send us your Spirit, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lingering. This is a very exciting portion of Scripture, if you ask me. Genesis chapter 19. Hopefully you brought your Bible. You'll be needing it quite a bit. I don't want you to hear my words. I want you to hear the Word of God. As we get into this message, as we're going to start eating, I need to set the table, because before you have the main plate, you have all the things around it, and then you can sink your teeth into it. Because the first thing in setting this plate is the fact that Abraham and Lot have been so blessed by God that they don't know what to do with all their blessings. In fact, Abraham and Lot choose to go their separate ways, and of all the places that Lot chooses to go to, you named it, he goes to, what's that place? Sodom. Such a wonderful place. Not really. And not only that, but things go so well for Lot in Sodom that he almost gets killed in Sodom, and Abraham has to go to free him. Lovely. And to add insult to injury, Lot does not flee Sodom, he stays in Sodom. I mean, you would think you almost got killed there. You'd want to put the sign in the lawn and say, for sale, I'm moving. But no, he just said, I'm staying put. And last but not least, Abraham is visited and warned by Jesus of the coming judgments on Sodom, where who lived? Oh, that's right, Lot lived in Sodom. We finish chapter 18 and we see a praying Abraham who's having quite the heart-to-heart talk with God. Chapter 19, verse 1 and on, the Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Interesting. What was Abraham's prayer? He said, God, are you going to destroy the righteous along with the wicked? What if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom? Are you going to destroy Sodom? No. What if there's 45? What if there's 40, 30, 20? What if there's 10. Wow. 10 righteous people. God would not have destroyed Sodom. And what's interesting in these three verses that we just finished reading is that Lot does something that Abraham did when he saw Jesus. What does he do? He bows down before God. He worships him in giving him honor and respect that he deserves. My question is, where did Lot learn how to do this? Oh, that's right. He learned it from Abraham. He had seen Abraham worship the Lord because every morning and every evening they would worship the Lord as Abraham, the high priest of his home. Where was Lot at, the Bible says in verse 1? At Sodom's gate. Interesting. I mean, he's just at the gate. I mean, he's not inside, but he's close enough where he could hear the garbage. He can smell that sin. Reminds me of someone who was told to not be around a certain place and to not eat of a certain fruit. But lo and behold, they got close enough. Oh, that's right, that was Eve. Lot, he could have thought, you know what? I'm going to reach those Sodomites. I'm going to be the missionary to Sodom, and I will have X amount of believers convert to the Lord. Sometimes we think we can go to a bad place where it is so wicked and think that we're going to reach them, when in actuality what ends up happening is that they actually reach us. Could we be lingering where or with what we shouldn't? I mean, either being at a place that we know we got no business being there, or involved in something I know I shouldn't be doing. No, we don't have to go too far to think of a place like Sodom. Vegas is a good place, ain't it? What happens here? No, it doesn't stay here. All these fancy lights, you can do a whole bunch of stuff. Have a great time. I mean, they call it Sin City for a reason. It's not that bad, Pastor. Sin City. What's wrong with this picture? It's not city, it's Sin City. What's wrong with this picture is what my Bible tells me in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is what? Death. So it's not Sin City, it's Death City. Amen? What else did he do like Abraham, this Lot character? He feeds his guests. He serves them and says, come to my house, please. Mi casa es su casa. Come on over. Stay with me. I got a place for you. Please, don't stay out there. I mean, think about this. Of all the people to visit, the angels go and visit Lot. And guess what? Angels are still visiting us today, giving us messages of warning. Lot, this guy, let me tell you, he loved the fertile land of Sodom. Therefore, all of his cattle and livestock could be fed. He found the wickedness of Sodom appealing. Appealing for what? That's debatable. But it was appealing. Not just that, but Lot, he brings his riches to Sodom so that his riches can grow. The interesting thing is that Lot enters Sodom with all these riches, and he leaves with what? Nada. Zip, zilch. He had been taught about the God of heaven. It's not all negative. There were some good things that happened with Lot. He was taught about the God of heaven, or else he would not have invited these strangers in. He wouldn't have worshipped God. But there's even better news than that. We have been taught about the God of heaven. Somewhere along the way, you have been taught about that this is my Father's world. You have been taught about there's a God who loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Somewhere along the line, you learned about this. Amen? Praise God. These strangers, in regards to Lot's invitation to stay on over his place, they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." You know, there's times in which God will tell us things just to give us an opportunity to see where we're at with him. Check this out. Their object in this answer was twofold: to test the sincerity of Lot, and also to appear ignorant of the character of the men of Sodom, as if they supposed it safe to remain in the street at night. Their answer made Lot the more determined not to leave them to the mercy of the rabble. He pressed his invitation until they yielded and accompanied him to his house. What a blessing it is to think about this, to say, "Jesus, come to my house. Jesus, stay with me." And this visitor, my Bible tells me, comes every day. Isn't that what Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's what it says. Verse 4 and on, the Bible says, "But before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, 'Where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them.' And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, 'I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof.'" I read that and it just doesn't make sense. That's a strange exchange of words, if you ask me, and proposition. "Don't sleep with these men, but you can abuse my two daughters." You see, Lot had lived in the midst of wickedness that he had trouble discerning between right and wrong. The beauty of this portion of Scripture is that God has a last say. Because not only do these men, or let me rewind, not only are these heavenly guests protected from the wicked men outside, but so are Lot's daughters. God had the last say. Verse 9. "And they said, 'Stand back.' And they said again, 'This one fellow came in to sojourn,'" referring to Lot, the foreigner, "'and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them.' And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." Lot's like, "Listen, don't do this. This is wrong." And their response is, "Who are you to judge me?" Don't judge me. Who do you think you are? Some holier than thou? You know, the Bible's clear.
Romans 1, 24 and 27. Sorry about that. The Bible does say, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error, which was due. The Bible is very clear about that. And, you know, not judging is also part of the gospel of these days. Everything's right. Nothing's wrong. Jesus said, Matthew 7, judge not that you be not judged. And some people run with that and don't look back. But the scripture continues. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Is there right and wrong in this verse? Yes, there is. Let me be more clear. Is homosexuality a sin? Is homosexuality the only sin? Is homosexuality the worst sin? Nope. In fact, my Bible tells me there's only one sin that is not pardonable. The rejection of the Holy Spirit. This is very pardonable, if you ask me. Because sin is sin. Whether it's lust, stealing, lying, drinking, smoking, drugs, sin at the end of the day is still sin. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what I love about God and His Word. He's clear. You see, if I tell our kids one day this is right and the other day the other thing is right, they get confused. They need consistency. And our God, my Bible tells me, changes not. Let's continue on. Verse 10 and on. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Praise God. God's hand of mercy protects a confused Lot. Why was Lot confused? He's there in Sodom. He almost gets killed in Sodom. He exposes his children to abuse, and he thinks this is still a good place to live. God protects Lot. God has protected you. I mean, if we were to just stop here and to testify of how many times God has protected you and I from evil and from danger and death, we'd be here a long time. Amen? Praise God. He's a God who delivers us. Verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, referring to these heavenly visitors, because the cry of them is waxen great before who? The face of the Lord, and the Lord has set us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. So this message of mercy that these angels give to Lot, Lot then in turn gives it to who? His family. Let that sink in for a moment. As God talks to you and to me, guess where what he tells us needs to be given to? Our family. Our family. Our family. He tells it to his family, and he gets mocked for it. Let me tell you a little something about evangelism. Evangelism starts with me coming to Jesus every day. Because if I don't come to Jesus every day, then guess who needs an evangelist? I do. I need to come to Jesus every day. And then from there, that flows from me to my family. And from my family, let me tell you, I tell these little ones about Jesus. And watch out, world, because they're going to get some Jesus. I mean, the boldness with how they share Jesus. I wish I had some of that. And then they go into the community. You see, church family, the question that we need to wrestle with is this one. Is my family ready to meet Jesus in all of his glory? That is the question. You see, every day and every week, I ask myself, is this the last week that we have our kids with us? Is this the last week that I can tell them about Jesus? Is this the last week that in my deeds and in my words and in my character, they may have seen Jesus? I ask myself, and I hope you do too. You might be thinking, oh, Pastor, I don't got little ones under my roof anymore. Well, guess what? It's about the grandkids now. And sometimes we think that once the kids have left from living under our roof, that maybe our parenting is done. No, it's not. In fact, that may be when we see the greatest evidences of the power of God in the lives of our parents, in the lives of our grandparents, because they come to have an experience with God and realize, I need help. I need God to change me because I want to be ready for when Jesus comes. I want my family to be ready for when Jesus comes. If they are not, if I am not, I need to come. If they're not, I need to pray like Abraham prayed for his extended family. And last but not least, I need to wait for the Holy Spirit to do his work and be ready for when the Holy Spirit opens the door so then I can do something. Vile conversation greeted his ears daily. This is Lot. And his righteous soul was vexed by the violence and crime he was powerless to prevent. His children were becoming like these wicked people, for association with them had perverted their morals. Taking all these things into consideration, the worldly riches he had gained seemed small and not worth the price he had paid for them. His family connections were extensive, his children having married among the Sodomites. So Lot is there and he's realizing, man, I had all these riches. I got this amazing place called home. And now my family looks like it's going to a hot place. Was it really worth it? Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Very simple command. Let me rewind, because there's something we read there. When did Lot get married? Him and Abraham split. He's a single guy. Some way, somehow, between that split to Sodom, Lot gets married. Where? The Bible does not say. Where is she from? This is a big deal, church family. The greatest decision ever to be made in life is accepting Christ as Lord and Savior and surrendering to Him. The second most important decision in life is choosing who you're going to spend the rest of your days with in marriage. The third most decision in life is the children that you bring into this world and training them in the fear of the Lord. And these are no small things. If we were to focus on these things prayerfully more and more, a lot of things would be different in our lives, in our church, and in our community. They're given a command, a simple one. Get out now and don't look back. I'd like to show you something on the screen. Have you ever seen this map before? It's over here you have Massapequa Park. Here you have East Massapequa. I grew up in East Massapequa, Long Island, New York. And right down here, you don't see it, that's the Atlantic. And so my house was right literally here on this street. It says East Grove Street. And we were right just a few blocks away from County Line Road. Why do you call it County Line Road? Because that's where the county ended and the new one started. And the next town over was Amityville. You see, there's horror movie enthusiasts. I'll pray for y'all. And there's a certain line of movies that talk about some Amityville place. Well, guess what? That line of movies is right next door to where I grew up in the right next town. And so I never saw that garbage. But I was told that there was a famous line about this Amityville house. And it went something like this. Get out. And so you would think that on hearing such a statement, I would want to be as far away as possible from Amityville. But no, there I was on my bicycle riding up and down the streets to try to find that house. Well, Hollywood is Hollywood. That house actually does not exist. But yet I was looking for a place that I should not be at. Literally trying to be where I know I should not be at. Silly, huh? Lot was in a place like that. And we might be at a place like that ourselves. Verse 16. And while he did what? He lingered. The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Why did Lot linger? Why didn't he put that thing in gear and head on out? Why did he mosey on down at his own pace when he felt like it? Well, the thought of leaving those whom he held dearest on earth seemed more than he could bear. In other words, there was people that he couldn't bear not being around them anymore. That's what we're told. It was hard to forsake his luxurious home and all the wealth acquired by the labors of his whole life to go forth a destitute wanderer like some Abraham. Stupefied with sorrow, he lingered, loath to depart. But for the angels of God, they would all have perished in the ruin of Sodom. You see, here's the truth of the matter. Lot's lingering started a whole lot earlier than this. How do we know that? Well, who was at the city gate? That's what we call lingering. Loitering. Not inside, but close enough on the outside. Don't get me confused, even though my toe looks like it's on the inside, but it's actually on the outside. I'm moving real quick. It kind of reminds me like some lingering that Laodicea could be doing. I know I should be moving forward, but I'm not, and I'm not hot, and I'm not cold. I'm lingering. You want to hear some good news? To whom does God show mercy to? According to verse 16, my Bible tells me, to those who hold his hand. Wow, God comes down. He says, come on out. Come with me. Let's go. He gives them mercy. All they got to do is, let's go and be willing. God's mercy is put into our hands if we want it. I don't know about you, but I want God's mercy. How about you? Psalms 32 verse 10 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who what? Trust in the Lord. Mercy shall surround him. I want mercy to surround me. How about you? Let's continue. The plot thickens. And it came to pass, verse 17, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Interesting. God tells him to do how many things? Basically one. Get out, don't look back. That what he was told? All right. One thing, not a billion things, one thing. Wow, it makes me think about how there's a little bit of Lot inside of me. Because Jesus, on one occasion, he said in Mark 10, 21 and 22, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Kind of sounds like Lot, if you ask me. He didn't want to leave Sodom because of his great possessions. I don't know what you have. I know what I have. And whatever you have and whatever I have is not more important than heaven. Not even close. My house will burn one day, glory, hallelujah. And so will yours. That's what our Bible tells us. But my question is, what's your one thing? What's the one thing that God has been trying to tell you and me that we need to escape and leave behind? Because here we have Lot. He's trying, and we try too, to negotiate with God when an atomic bomb is about to drop. That makes no sense. And what is about to happen in the near future is much worse than an atomic bomb. And we have the audacity to linger. Or maybe say, I'll move, but I'll stay close. You see, it is not the time to linger. It is the time to move. It's the time to escape. But Pastor, if I leave that thing behind, I'll die if I do so. I don't know what I'll do without that thing. Last time I checked, if I have Jesus, I have everything. If I don't have Jesus, I have nothing. You know, Jesus said, what you're gonna do, do it quickly. And if God's judgments, let me rewind. Did you notice how God's mercy precedes God's judgments? God is the one who reaches out his merciful hand. Let's get on out, because you might be thinking, I don't have strength, but he does. Hallelujah. But what we're going to do, we got to do it quickly. Hesitancy or delay now would be fatal. To cast one lingering look upon the devoted city, to tarry for one moment from regret to leave so beautiful a home, would have cost their life. The storm of divine judgment was only waiting that these poor fugitives might make their escape. Don't look back. It's a day to escape and not look back. As in the days of Noah and Lot, there must be a marked separation from sin and sinners. There can be no compromise between God and the world, no turning back to secure earthly treasures. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Check this out. The same angel who visited Sodom is sounding the note of warning. Escape for thy life. I mean, I thought that angel retired. That angel's still around and is still giving the same warning. The bottles of God's wrath cannot be poured out to destroy the wicked and their works until what? All the people of God have been judged, and the case of their living as well as the dead are decided. And even after the saints are sealed with the seal of the living God, his elect will have trials individually. So in other words, God's waiting on us. He grants us his mercy and his grace and his power to live a righteous life in Christ. And once God's people have left sin, now these judgments can come upon the land. You could be thinking, what I'm needing to do only affects me. In fact, what I'm needing to do doesn't just affect me. Lot had so long been surrounded by the corrupting influences that his sensibilities were blunted and he could not discern the works of God and his purposes. He could not trust himself in the hands to do his bidding. He was continually pleading for himself, and this unbelief cost him the life of who? His wife. I wonder what our lingering could be doing to our families. I wonder what our lingering could be doing to our spouse. I wonder what our lingering could be doing to our church. I wonder what our lingering could be doing to our community. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. You know what's interesting about Sodom that day is that it looked just like any other day. And so it will with us when Christ returns. The destruction that was promised did come. But my question is, how did Sodom become so wicked? How did it get so bad? Well, listen to this. They gave loose rein to their intemperate appetites, then to their corrupt passions, until they were so debased and their sins were so abominable that their cup of iniquity was full, and they were consumed with fire from heaven. The same sins in our day which brought the wrath of God upon the world in the days of Noah, men and women now carry their eating and drinking to gluttony and drunkenness. By these sins, man can no longer discern morality and make good decisions that God can bless. Verse 26, the Bible says, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. I don't want to linger anymore. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered who? Abraham. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. You know what's interesting about this story? Who's safe and sound? Oh, that's right. Abraham is. You see, Abraham wasn't concerned about his stuff. What was Abraham concerned about? He was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. One of the things we do weekly is pray for the city of Roseburg. We do this at prayer meeting. Verse 30 to 38, we see how Lot does go to a mountain nearby. His daughters realize that there's no more supposed men to procreate with and Lot's name to remain. And they choose to intoxicate their father, and they both become pregnant. My question is, what will our legacy be? Because the fruit of these two babies that are born are the Moabites and the Ammonites. Will our legacy be thorns in the side of God's people? Or will they be flowers with a sweet fragrance? Something worse than what occurred to Sodom and Gomorrah is coming, church family. Don't take my word for it. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says in Matthew 10, 14, and 15, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Oh, surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Wow. Something worse than the message given to Sodom and Gomorrah is about to happen. But what would be worse than that destruction is whether or not I receive the message of warning that God is giving us today. Like Lot, maybe I've made mistakes. Could there be any hope for me, Pastor? Maybe Lot went too far. He lived in such a place, and his wife turned back, and his daughters got him drunk, and the whole nine yards. What a mess. And sometimes our lives can feel like messes. Pastor, is there any hope? Oh, is there hope? 2 Peter 2, 6-9. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered who? Righteous Lot. Did Lot make mistakes? Yes, he did. Did Lot get out? Yes, he did. Is God here today with just as much power and mercy to get you and I out? Yes, he is. He delivered righteous Lot. Our last verse for the day, John 14. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has what? Nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Is there something that the prince of this world, the devil, has in you? Jesus said, the prince of this world has come, and he has nothing in me. I don't know what's your Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is telling you and I that we need to leave today and to leave ASAP. But if God was able to save Lot, then maybe, just maybe, he can save me and you. Jesus is. And I want to be ready with my family to receive him in glory. And I want nothing between me, my soul, and the Savior. If today you'd like to say, Lord, I need to get moving. My feet want to move, but I got no strength. Can I hold your hand? Because I know you'll get. Is there someone here who would like to say that, Lord, I want to get out today? If that is your desire, let us stand as we sing hymn number 322, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior.